outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Veggie Burger Griller.
Mr. Veggie Burger Griller.
Summertime is cookout time, and most people throw a big, juicy patty of freshly butchered red meat on the grill. But not you. You prefer to be cruelty-free.
Where's that sizzling sound?
How, Mr. Veggie Burger Griller, do you like your burger? Rare, medium rare, well done, or just slightly sissy in the middle?
It smells like burnt popcorn.
What's next, a tofu wiener for crying out loud?
Organic whole grain bun, yeah.
So at your next backyard barbecue, fire up the Flame Master 4000 and look out for the guy bringing his own food in an environmentally friendly canvas bag. Mr. Veggie Burger Griller, a real American hero.
Mr. Veggie Burger Griller.
Hey, that actually doesn't taste that bad.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, October 20th. Another overcast wintry day in Southern California after thunder and lightning last night. Did you see that?
Yes, you must have been in hog heaven, huh?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, it wasn't raining as much at night, but then it started pouring after a while. And for those who don't know, I happen to love rain. I'm not sure about your position on it, Kira.
Well, I mean, Sam.
Yes. It's not such a big topic, you know. It's just the weather.
No, and I understand. I'm just saying. I think that the weather, it's cozy. It is definitely cozy. But I worked all weekend. I worked from the middle of the week till till Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, so it was like my Saturday. I was ready to just veg out, watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I go over to my friends, bring a movie and everything. And then she's in this whole like, I want to go work out. I want to go work on the computer. And I'm like, no, this isn't part of the plan. Like, you need to just sit back, put on some comfy clothes, put your hands in your pants,
mm-hmm.
and watch The Lovely Bones with me.
Right.
Yes.
And did you do it?
It took her forever. Finally, she did.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know, we missed some of the peak raining time to watch the movie. But I don't. I think rain is nice. It's comfy, cozy. But I think it kind of makes me, you know, feel like you want to play house and have somebody.
Yeah.
You know?
I see.
I think that's
okay.
Why everybody.
So it makes you long for a man.
It makes you long for a lover. Lover undercover. But I think that that's probably why everybody in LA is kind of like not married and single, because it's sunny all the time. They're like, screw this. I'm going to play it.
They don't want to stay in.
They're like, I don't want to stay in. Are you kidding me? So funny.
That's a good theory, huh?
I don't know. Let's try to write it. I like to make up theories and try to see if I can get people to believe in them.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
So I have a really good coffee this morning. You know when certain things, let's say certain things in your life, what are those things that you have that are daily rituals that you do? I don't have a whole lot of rituals, but a few different routines. And then some days they're just extra good.
Yeah.
You know, maybe whatever it is. And this, my coffee today is extra good.
Really? How did that happen?
Well, I did get a pump of toffee nut.
Uh-huh.
And two pumps of pumpkin spice in my coffee.
Really?
Because it's, you know, it's...
It's Halloween.
It's a the holidays.
Yeah.
And I said, go ahead and put some holiday in my cup.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good. And so I drove in here, of course, almost late.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran up the stairs, and then I realized my awesome coffee is in the car. And I was like, it's worth almost being late. So I had to throw my shoes off, run down.
And you get some exercise in the process.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Because they're fixing the elevator this morning.
Dude, this is the second time that elevator's been busted. I'm just telling you,
it's not just the second time, let me tell you. It
really?
Breaks all the time, yeah.
And this is a nice building. This is definitely a nice building.
It is, but it has nothing to do with it. You know, I mean, elevators are just elevators.
But I'm just telling you, one of my fears when I get into an elevator is anytime it shakes or stalls,
right.
I start thinking about loss of oxygen. I start thinking that it's going to just suspend, you know, out of control and fall. And so when you told me that somebody got stuck in it for 15 minutes the other day, and she's pretty cool about it.
Right.
I was like, better her than me.
Right. But you know, when we were downtown, we were on the 36th floor when we had the station in the beginning. And I got stuck in the elevator on a Sunday night. And, you know, fortunately, it's like a big building, so there's a crew and stuff. So I had to call them on the phone and they're like, you know, you're in the express zone, you know, where there's no doors. You know how sometimes you go in tall buildings, it says easy in the elevator inside? It's called the express zone. So, you know, in some buildings, like, for example, the elevator will start at the 15th floor and just go up. So anything between the first and 15th floor, there's no doors.
How do people get on those floors then?
With another elevator, with a different one, goes to lower levels. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got stuck there, and I was sitting there, and I thought I was going crazy. I took out my laptop, started working, but then after a while, I just started freaking out. I'm like, you guys got to get me out of here. It's been like over an hour.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, and they're saying, well, it's Sunday night. We can't get the elevator people over here.
No, you get that elevator working.
I told them, I said, I'm going to call the fire department if you guys can't get me out of here. So, you know, I'm still sitting there. There's nobody in sight. I finally called 911. I said, look, send somebody here because I'm stuck. So by the time they released me and stuff, I'm going downstairs and there's a fire truck and everything going on.
Oh, really? So they finally they got you out before the fire people showed
up.
Yeah,
they did.
Oh, man.
But so that's kind of like...
Over an hour, Sam?
Over an hour. It was like an hour and a half.
Good thing you didn't have to go to the bathroom.
And you freak out. I know.
That would really suck if you had to, like, you know.
It really would suck.
Go, you know, number two.
I would fucking go number two right in the elevator. What the hell? Let them deal with it.
Yeah, right, but you're going to be sitting in it. It's going to be marinating, and you're going to be, like, in this, you know.
Oh, you're gross.
Why? You're the one that said you'd do it.
No, you're the one that brought it up.
Well, you're right, I did. Speaking of number two, we watched the movie The Lovely Bones, a friend of mine and I did. Do you know about the movie?
We started watching it. My wife didn't want to see the rest of it.
It's a
heavy movie, right?
Yeah, it's not graphic, which is good. I think it's a great, I actually really like the film. But yeah, it does. It pulls on all those strings, even if you're not a parent, where you're like, I think probably one of the most tragic things for anybody would be to lose a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so even when you're not, you don't even have children, it puts you in a place of, if you did have kids, and you just feel like, you know, people that I was thinking about, you know how people are always, they go into therapy, they get older, and they're always still talking about their childhood.
Right.
Well, you know, you think about it, it makes sense because that's the only time in life you're at that vulnerable. You'll never be as vulnerable as when you're a child.
Right.
And a kid, you know, like, because you can't protect yourself, you don't understand things, everything, you believe anything, you know what
right.
I mean? So you're like, you're just so vulnerable. So I'm watching this film on play, and for those of you guys who don't know, it's a retelling of a child that was abducted and murdered and then, you know, kind of her exploration into the...
Right. She's telling the story from...
Yeah, and it's actually a book that's, I think, was a really successful book, and they've turned it into a movie.
Yeah, a very successful book. And so the girl is like, she's telling the story from her grave, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
But what it made me think of was just, you know, the killer, the murderer, was a neighbor that was literally just across the street.
Right.
And wasn't even suspected for a long time. And then the father at one point started to feel that there was something going on over there. And, you know.
Oh, really?
He started to suspect that there could be some activity in whatever. But what I was thinking, though, is there's a scene where one of the her other sister jumps into the house and is looking for evidence to convict this guy. So she breaks into his house.
Right.
And I was like, I was so pissed at this point. You know, you always say what you would do, which you don't know what you would do. But I'm like, I would piss and just shit everywhere all over his place. I'd be so pissed. I'm sorry, guys. That's so gross. But I would be like, they'd be like, come on, Karen, we got to get the evidence. Yeah, yeah, I'll be right there in a second. Like, what are you doing? Finger painting. I'll be back.
Yeah, let me leave a dump or two here.
Like, you know, I was so angry. I was so invested in this movie. I was so angry. I'm like, what can you do other than trash the place? I'd want to just, you know, like how cat pee just doesn't, it smells so bad and it just doesn't come out. Mm. I would hope that, you know, I could kind of like urinate in a way that was just, this is disgusting. I'm sorry, guys. But my point is that it's something that was very debased and just very like visceral of, I want to just, I wanted to destroy this house.
Yeah, so you were really into the movie, yes. Obviously. Yeah.
Yes.
So did you like it?
I did like it. I mean, my roommate was like, oh, yeah, there's some things she didn't like or she didn't really believe. But, I mean, Mark Wahlberg, I think he's a great actor, but I don't see him as like a father
right.
figure yeah. in a movie that's just kind of plain Jane kind of father. I don't see him in that role. Mm. It kind of went back and forth between the dream world and the in between the heaven and then the whole like reality. Mm. I enjoyed it though. I mean, obviously I'm talking about it today.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been out for a while, but we just rented it. But yeah, it just made me really feel that sense of, you know,
needing to take a shit.
No, it made me feel the sense of wanting to fight. And I don't know if that's what I would do. I don't know if I would. You know, they say people have fight or flight and some people mm-hmm. run and some people actually retaliate and they get physical. I don't know which one I would do. But, I mean, I'm hoping I'd turn into like a stealth ninja mm-hmm. and kick some major ass.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would happen, though.
Well, who knows?
And I looked at my roommate, Sarah. I was like, Sarah, if anybody ever goes after you, because I don't have kids, right? So I'm like, Sarah, listen, don't talk to strangers. Anybody goes after you, I will.
Now, this is a 28-year-old woman you're talking to.
She's 30, actually.
Oh, yeah?
I'm like, I will screw them up, Sarah. I'll come after you. But I'll look like a crazy woman. I'm like, I'll like just start drooling on myself. Yeah. And, you know, I'll look like I'm crazy. Yeah,
and I'm sure you're going to scare them.
Well, apparently, attackers, and this isn't obviously everyone, but they kind of get off on the, like, recessive, they want to dominate and possess.
Mm.
So when a girl screams or cries and runs away, they like that.
Mm.
And, like, there's a part where the kid, even the little kid in the movie, she had her head down. When she started to get scared because this guy was scaring her, she put her head down and my friend was like, yeah, don't do that. Don't ever do that. Like, if you're ever being, like, attacked,
yeah.
you gotta be like, okay, gotta go. What's up? Look him straight in the face. Be like, okay, sorry, this ain't working out. Gotta go.
Yeah.
Like, just get really, like, they don't like loud. They don't like crazy. They don't like any of that. They're turned off by crazy people. They say, like, pick your nose.
Yeah.
Take a crap if you can.
Sounds good.
I'm just saying. So let's continue.
So
I'm
you
just,
can turn them away. Huh?
I don't know if I can crap on command, but I've thought about, like, if things get bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just get nasty and dirty, and they're turned off. They don't want to attack you anymore. They're like, ah, she's psycho. They yeah. don't go after crazy people.
No, huh?
Uh-uh.
Yeah. Good. So you're crazy. They won't go after
yep.
you.
You guys got that out there?
Yeah. We got it.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Well, I guess just arrived. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Oops. There you go. Now try.
Good morning. Excellent.
Sorry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I got caught in traffic. I was not expecting it.
Really?
Yeah. Clearly, yeah. I'm new to LA.
Yeah.
Oh, where are you from?
Boston.
Boston.
Yeah, I know. Flat
so introduce
all.
Yourself to Kara. You're Elizabeth, right?
No, I'm Allie.
You're Allie.
Nice
introduce yourself yeah. to Sam, because apparently he doesn't remember.
Yeah,
so.
Alexandra, right?
Oh, that's
yeah.
a pretty
okay,
name.
Now I remember that. Yeah, Allie, right?
Yeah, I go by Allie or Alex.
Okay, sounds good. You see, I mean, I knew I wouldn't get the name right, you
that's
know,
okay.
because it was like the last
minute
thing.
I was
going
to try and cheat and show you my name on something, but it didn't work out. So.
Uh-huh, okay. So now we know. Now
that's
that
a
I'm
cute name.
Myself.
I even like Allie. I have a little niece named Allie.
Yeah, it actually became a really common name recently. I remember when I was a kid, they were, you know, how everybody had personalized pencils and mini license plates for your bicycle and stuff like that. There was never anything that said Alexandra.
Really?
And so my parents were always searching because I was always like, oh, man, I don't have anything.
Yeah.
We didn't, like, think to put, you know, markers on paper or something.
Uh-huh.
But,
oh, that's
yeah.
sweet. That's a pretty name. It seems very regal, Alexandra. It sounds
it
like
is.
You should be in the you should be an heir to something.
It'd be nice.
What it, like, yeah, like, so... You should have some kind of inheritance or some kind of like
dowry. Or maybe
dowry.
Just find a rich person and he can just say, you deserve it.
Can yeah. You can be
yeah.
like, yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Have you been looking for rich people?
Well, aren't we always?
Yeah, who doesn't, right?
Yeah. Kind of always in the back of my head.
Yeah.
No, not on purpose.
So you're originally from Boston,
I
right?
I am. Yeah. I just got here about 2.5 months ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you moved directly from Boston? Mm-hmm. There's no, like, stopping anywhere on the
Well, road? I mean, I lived in New York twice. I've lived in Boston
did?
For most of my life.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, pretty much I just moved straight on over here.
Yeah, no Boston accent or anything, huh?
No, I tried pretty hard to kind of...
Oh, really? You have to work at it?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll sit on the R's a little bit longer than people normally are, and they're like, oh, okay, you're trying too hard, but, you know, it's worth it, I guess.
Just cool. Had a Boston conversation last night just about how in a lot of films, the way you kind of see Boston, like with The Departed, and then
yeah.
you've got The Town just came out, and all these different films where it kind of has this blue-collar kind of gritty...
There's a lot of that.
Is that he said? Oh, that's just some of the little pockets. And
yeah,
that's not very...
it kind of depends on where you are. Like if you're in East or South Boston, there's mm-hmm. going to be more blue collar guys. Where if you're in the financial district, obviously there's going to be more people wearing suits all day. And
mm-hmm.
You know, it's a good cross section of blue collar and kind of academia.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's nice.
Yeah. Did you like growing up there?
I loved it.
Really?
It was gorgeous in the fall. Winter mm-hmm. was a. Can I say a bitch?
No, you did. Just go work on a girl.
Let's see. Can she say a bitch? Fuck yeah.
Okay.
You can say a bitch.
Sam loves that. Like,
grand. We'll get along just fine, guys. Yeah, it was a bitch in the winter because, you know, the salt covers your car and then you have to shovel and then, you know, every single day you're hoping for a snow day when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's magical and it's wonderful because you wake up and you open the windows and it's snowing and you mm-hmm. get like hot cocoa, you know, after mm-hmm. breakfast and it's really great. And then you realize you have to put on your snow pants because your dad has a hurt back and he doesn't want to do it.
Mm.
So you have to figure out what type of snow it is. If it's
yeah.
really heavy, wet snow, it's just going to kind of like really be difficult to shovel. And mm-hmm. then the snowballs hurt when your brother throws them at your face.
Wow.
It's
a whole thing.
It's
huh?
a whole big thing.
Yeah.
But it's charming and it's wonderful and I love
sure.
it.
Sure.
But it's cold. It's very, very cold.
Very cold, huh? You never get used to that cold, huh?
I don't. I never have.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, my boyfriend, he played hockey growing up, so
mm-hmm.
for him, you know, 40 degrees is kind of comfortable.
Right.
Because normally he's used to freezing cold temperatures, mm-hmm. and I just never grew accustomed to it.
Wow. So. Yeah. So what made you decide to move here?
There's more access to paid jobs out here.
Really?
For acting. Yeah.
Oh, for acting.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're interested in acting.
Yes.
At what age did you decide you wanted to do that?
Probably in fourth grade or so.
Really?
I think third, fourth grade.
You already decided I want to be in front of the camera.
Yeah, kind of. I was one of those kids. Like when I came out for the dance recital, I was the one who was like, I was such a ham apparently. Somewhere there's a videotape of me, you know, dancing to Getting to Know You in some skimpy little blue outfit doing a ballet dance.
Uh-huh.
And apparently I was the one kid who was like beaming towards the audience, half paying attention to the dance and half paying attention to what I could do to entertain. So
uh-huh.
I was that kid.
Wow. So did you act like in high school and things like that?
I studied voice for a number of years. I actually started doing voiceover in fifth grade. They were every year they do, or one of the old radio stations, I think it got bought out. They used to do a children's reading of The Nutcracker.
Uh-huh.
And so they would have, you know, certain little couple paragraphs assigned to different kids. And in fifth grade, I got assigned the section that was talking about what the Nutcracker was wearing. So the gold buttons, that was like the two words I remember that the producer was like, yeah, you really want to emphasize the gold buttons. Like, it's a really big deal. So I just remember that. And it was, you know, it was wonderful and I loved it.
Yeah.
So I just kind of started then.
So, and what did you do in New York?
Well, the first time I was going to school, so I went to Circle in the Square Theater School for their intensive summer training.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the non-musical program, and so I was there for 3 months, and I lived in East Village. There were tons of cockroaches, and there was a rat that died in the wall. That was great. Before I got there, they had to air out the room. So the room was the size of a closet.
God, how bad did it smell?
Well, by the time I got there, it didn't, thank God. But
right.
they had a fan going for an entire week.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
How
so
disgusting.
It was great. I think the cockroaches ate it. So I'm really hoping.
Oh, that's
you
even
know,
better.
You know, as long
yeah.
as they recycle.
Yeah.
Know, it's just...
Yeah, thanks for
going.
The visual. That really gets our morning
well,
going.
I know. I'm sorry, guys.
No, that's
no
okay.
we've already got a lot. We can handle that after.
Yeah,
just...
I know. I was going to say crapping on command.
Yeah, there
I mean,
you
but
go,
I'm not
know?
Saying
it's
like
kind
a,
of
it's
morning.
Not a jackass kind of reference. It's one of those you do it as a defense thing
right.
to deter your
it definitely would make people
they're not
think
into
twice.
It. They're I mean, as crazy
unless
as they are.
They are.
But
I mean,
no, as crazy as they are, they have standards. And that's just disgusting. mutilating you, killing you, and you know, storing your blood for next year. That's fine, but they got to be in control
of it. It's the pooping they have a problem with.
They're like, we don't do that. She's picking her nose. Turned off.
Yeah, it's like too much danger.
She's drooling
sick
on her chin. Not fun. They don't go after the crazy people generally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, but, so, you know, I mean, those people that are into, like, defecation and stuff. I mean, if you heard
I don't
of
know
that?
If they're necessarily... I don't really know if those people are necessarily...
It's like a sexual
are
thing.
They are those necessarily predators that are going around killing people, or that's, like, their fetish?
No, I don't... Yeah, it's like a fetish.
Yeah, but we're
something.
Not talking about people that are their nutty fetish. I'm talking about predators that mutilate,
I'm just
kill,
talking
rape.
About the fact that you might not offend them if you shit there. They might actually like it.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to figure this out.
They might be open-minded.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I really don't think they are, guys. Get your fetishes and your perpetrators right, because I think you guys aren't getting this. I'm serious.
Okay, my apologies.
So we're not getting this.
Please get with the picture. Yeah. Get the program. Okay. Okay, back to Boston.
Yeah. So you decided you wanted to act, and so you decided to move to LA.
Yeah,
to Hollywood.
Well, I decided I wanted to get paid to act.
Okay.
That was
the problem before. It's like you have to work.
Yeah, there's tons of stuff I could do. I had a great job as a receptionist. I worked at Carl Zeiss for 3 years, and I worked at a couple of like high tech or computer technology companies and places that were really fun, really good people. You know, I got paid a lot. It was great. But every time I had the chance, I'd be acting or auditioning or doing a photo shoot or something.
So working in an office is not for you, really. You're more the creative type.
Yes and no.
Yeah?
It's the thing I love about it is getting to meet new people.
Right.
So for me, that's really exciting because the day job I have right now is I work online. I write online content, which it's okay. But, you know, it's $8 an hour to write academic research stuff, and it's like I sit in my living room, and it's not really.
Yeah, but you know, you have to start somewhere, right?
I mean,
that's the thing.
No, I think she's talking about like human interaction, and the thing is I know a lot of people that are doing desk jobs, or they're kind of in their own world, and they're like, man, I miss just picking up the phone and having to deal with people and deal with transactions, or I'm signing this off and there's human contact. It's really unnatural, I think, to be that isolated. I don't think it's that healthy. So
yeah, I know a couple places are trying to make like internet cafe type places where if you don't have a desk job, or
you can go there.
You can go, and if there's people there, you can talk to them. But I think there's something that there's a sense of satisfaction you get from a community, even if it's, you know, just doing something like financial.
Yeah. I just got a day job at a restaurant, and I mean, I was like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really enjoying it because of all the different people and just the chattiness.
I worked at a restaurant. I worked at Friendly's Ice Cream place. You guys don't have them out here, but it's an ice cream and kind of like family style food. Mm-hmm. Out back home for, I think it was two summers. It was wonderful. It's great for people watching. If you like writing or if you like telling stories, I mean, I had some real interesting people come in, you know, and they were just totally cool. They just wanted to come after their crazy adventures and hang out and get a snack.
Yeah.
And they were just kind of calm and like ready to talk. It was wonderful.
Yeah. So you like people.
I do. I really love people.
Yeah.
I guess I like them in small groups because in big numbers they scare me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Crowds are like too much, you know?
It is a different vibe. There's something very animalistic that comes out when you get a herd of humans together.
Yeah.
They do. There's something that very like, you know, that like, me first, watch out, boom, boom, boom. And everybody's trying to like survive. You know what I mean? It's like, but if you take all those people and you kind of put them in little groups.
They're
it's not
reasonable.
The same vibe.
No, when you know someone, it's a different thing, you know.
But that's the sad thing is that, like, you know, you should kind of look at everybody like, well, you know what, they're a human too. They have brothers and sisters, or they have friends, or they have somewhere they're trying to get to, and they've got dreams and hopes, and they're nervous, and they get scared or whatever. They're humans too, right? And it's kind of like, but if you don't know them or they don't have anything that you can get from them, there tends to be this wall of like they're just another thing in the way.
And it becomes, that's one of the reasons they get so frustrated in traffic. Because when somebody's being a real asshole and they're just like, you know, trying to bomb through the rest of the traffic and whatever, I get really pissed off initially. And then I kind of have to take a minute and be like, okay, there's somebody's child. Maybe their kid has a broken leg in the back of the car. And maybe.
No, they're just an asshole.
Well,
I mean, probably.
That's a possibility, too.
Plus, you know, I mean, if you get angry, it only hurts you. You know, they don't know about it. They don't give a shit, you know.
I don't want to hold that much space in my heart for people.
Yeah, I got flicked off the other day. And this dude, he did a finger went up, and he pushed it towards the windshield, extended his hand, held it there, and
he did it for like
a whole like a few blocks, and I just gave him a big thumbs up, and I was like, thumbs up, like, good job. And he still held his finger out and he shook his head, uh-uh. And I went, then I put two thumbs up.
At this point, I'd be wondering if there's like a candid camera somewhere.
Yeah. It was funny. I was like, this guy is, he is committed. I was really like, he's very intense. I was like, you know.
Now, you see, if you were a guy, there probably would have been a fight out of that.
No, he wanted to get somewhere.
You put two males together, they want
to
fight.
Do you think you'd stop from where you need to go to pull over, and you think he's going to pull over too?
Yeah, because, you know, you don't think rationally when you do those things. You know, it's just anger.
You just want to yell at somebody?
Yeah, and it fills your head. And when it's two males trying to occupy the same space, there's bound to be a fight.
I think I'm glad I don't have that much testosterone.
Yeah, there you go.
Testosterone is a really interesting thing with guys. This restaurant I'm working at, I told you, Sam, there's this like the cute actor boy who's like trying to size me up because I'm new, right? He's trying to see what the parameters are, and he's pushing it, and I'm enjoying every minute of it because it's very, very fun. But it's like he's in his 20s, isn't like 28, which to me is still young for a guy, in my opinion. But he's kind of like got that like testosterone feather thing up, and he's like, you know, when they look at you, and they're like, and I'm like, hey girl, and.
You have very eloquent men in your life, don't you?
Well, I wouldn't say he's in my life, but he is in the work space. But anyway, he's this testosterone thing. It's very, 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 very interesting to me how women are so different. We're so opposite.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care about the same things that a guy does as far as like territorialism.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, all it takes for us is to be in the same bathroom, like washing our hands together as women, and it's like, oh, I like that lotion. It's nice, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of bonding going on.
Yeah, it's the same.
I know.
Yeah, I think men, it's just a different.
Yeah, it's hard being a guy in that way, you know? It really is, because it's hard to get close to people. You know, people compete all the time.
How do you feel as a man when you're like, you enter a place and it's mostly men? Let's say you enter in a room and you're going to meet somebody, they're not there yet, and it's like, a small, like a room out in the lobby, and there's nothing but five men there.
Huh.
What do you do?
Is it disgusting?
I don't know. I'd probably strike up a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, with someone. Or maybe not. I mean, it depends on the room, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if everybody's sitting there not saying anything, then I probably wouldn't, you know?
Well, like, my ex-boyfriend is in the military, so let's hence the word military, but he's like a beefy dude, a little meathead. And he said, every time I walk in a room... And I just think it's funny, he likes to break this shit down. I was like, okay, great. He would say he would look to see, part of it's like a defense thing, but he looks to see who the strongest male is.
Yeah, which one he's going to have to beat up
first. He sizes them up physically and dominance first, like who's alpha, who's bravo. Like he goes into
How many years had he been in the military for?
Quite a while.
Yeah.
Quite a while.
I mean, that's like his mentality.
Yeah, so part of it's probably... vocation, but I also think some of that's some men do that. I think
my ex-boyfriend would, he used to do that kind of in a comical way. So they legitimately at lunch break and during regular break periods would go to the whiteboard and figure out how many waves of 8-year-olds each one of them could take. That was a thing, and points for Muay Thai studies and points for however tall they were. They're mathematically figuring out how long it's going to take them to get the shit kicked out of them by a bunch of 8-year-olds.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That's really funny.
Yeah.
There's some time on your hands, though, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the same thing, though, right? Because that's more
But I mean, I think there's like still the testosterone kind of an element of sizing it up, but they didn't want to have it be a direct competition thing because then they'd kind of,
Guys are just a little different with that whole, like, you know, walk in. Do you do that? You walk in and you kind of look to see who's the biggest threat? Don't feel it?
No, it doesn't occur to me at all.
No, maybe it's just this nut bag that I dated.
Maybe.
It's possible.
Good thing
you're not with him anymore, then.
No, great guy. Just, he's a little...
Wrong fit.
Yeah, just wasn't the right fit. But I actually like a guy that kind of has that kind of skill. I like him to be very smart, but be equally as testosterone-filled.
Yeah.
I like that to be very balanced. I don't want him to be just... a big buff testosterone guy and like an IQ of 2.
Yeah.
But I don't want him to be like super cerebral and then like, he can't even defend anything. You know?
No, I think that's a
like I can't do that. I need it to be.
You need someone who can defend you. That's what you want.
Well, and you know what's funny is I have a really good friend of mine who's a doctor.
Get him a gun and he'll defend you. It doesn't matter how big he is.
Get him a gun.
That's the equalizer.
He needs to learn how to shoot it and he needs to learn when like he's in the moment. Have you ever shot a gun before?
No.
Okay.
Not a real one, anyway.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I've only gone shooting once, but I kind of love it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's amazing, and I can't wait to go back.
Yeah.
But there's a whole bunch of adrenaline that, when you shoot the gun, it just, like, in your body, it just kind of goes off.
Really?
Yeah, and if you're in, I think it was like...
Did you guys hear that, you predators out there? She
Yeah, I know how to defend myself, and I studied judo for 3 years
and
under
she
Olympians.
Said that when she shoots a gun, it something goes off, and
yes.
you need to think about that. Okay, continue.
You just have to be careful out there, guys. Yeah, and I studied judo for 3 years, actually.
Really?
Wow.
How cool.
Yeah, so if you want to meet guys who are both smart and know how to break somebody down, try judo.
Yeah, take martial arts.
Yeah.
Well, I think that, you know, it's my other friend, she's like, Kara, this isn't the caveman days, okay? Like you're so, like, she's like, you're so old-fashioned, because I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't want to be this sensitive, like, writer dude who wears a beard, and instead of working out, he gets a couple tattoos. I'm like, no, you need
That's
to learn.
That's not a sign of badassness.
No, I'm just like, no, you need to equally know how to do something, like, at least know how to poke an eyeball out or something.
Yeah.
Like, no. Just even if you know how to, like, do a chop to the neck and run,
yeah.
whatever you need to do, you know what
exactly.
I mean? You need to have some kind of skill. But
you need at least one move.
You need a couple things where you can just, you know, do it. But my little doctor friend, Asian dude, short dude, mm-hmm. he and I went somewhere, we went out, and I chatted up, and I've got personality, and I'm a little bit, sometimes I'm a little mouthy, I guess you could say that word.
That's all right.
And he said, Kara, he's like, I could never date you. And I'm like, as if you had a chance. But anyway, I'm like, whatever. Anyway. And he's like, but I could never date you. He's like, you get my ass kicked so quick. He's like, because I just, you know, I get the ball rolling.
I think that's a fair point.
And I thought to myself, he's kind of right. Like,
if you
need to be the strong man.
Up, you need somebody who's able to
even not just in like a, almost even also in an attraction way. It's almost like whether it's through being mouthy or being beautiful or whatever it is, you're bringing attention,
mm-hmm.
and that guy needs to be really confident and secure and equipped and packing some heat.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Gotta be equipped.
Gotta be packing some heat. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, because some people like to be, like, under the radar and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just not that girl.
I am not really that person entirely.
Yeah.
I'm the loud person in the quiet place, but in the loud place, I tend to be the quiet person.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing.
Understandable.
Yeah,
if I'm in
a coffee shop, I'm the one making friends with everyone.
Yeah, but if you're, like, in a stadium, you're like, please don't kill me. And
yeah.
Eat me.
I don't. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The
herd of humans.
Cannibalistic and
the herd of humans.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable in massive situations or situations with massive amounts of people.
I know. It is uncomfortable, though.
So, yeah. I mean, do you walk up to guys and just strike up a conversation at Starbucks?
Yeah.
Really?
Why not?
I don't know. They might think you're trying to pick them up. I mean, Kara does it all the time,
I'm
but
secure.
I thought it was only Kara.
No, I mean, I'm secure in myself. You know, if I'm waiting for the coffee and there's the slightest little weird thing that happens, I'll smell
That's
the
what
person
I
next to me, you know. You know, it's an introduction or...
It's something to bond over and it's casual talk. That's what he doesn't get. I don't, like, walk up to a random person and be like, hi, how are you? My name is Kara.
I used to do that every year at the theater department because I was at the same school for 5 years.
Uh-huh.
I got 2 degrees and was in the honors program. And, you know, the theater department was small enough that you knew everyone. So every year I would just pick a new person at orientation and be like, hi, I don't know you. My name's Alex.
Yeah.
You know, because I knew that eventually I was going to have to work with them.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to kind of get that out of the way.
Yeah,
so
break the ice.
So I broke the ice every single year.
Right.
With just some random guy, usually. I think every single time it was a random guy in the department. Usually they were technicians for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
They're the quiet ones. It was the ones who weren't talking that I went up to. Because
really?
It was those people that I was slightly more concerned about than the other guys, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, maybe really outgoing people are intimidating, maybe? Or no?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was a little concerned that I was one of those overwhelming people that when you first meet, like when I go up to somebody, it's, you know, I don't want to scare them into being quiet.
Right.
But for some people it helped, and for some people it didn't, and you just kind of have to.
I don't think you have that energy. You don't have like a Tasmanian devil energy. You think you're very approachable.
Oh God, the Tasmanian devil. My boyfriend's actually going to be laughing when he hears this. For a year in high school, sophomore year, the entire sophomore year of high school, I went to a Catholic school for 4 years.
Really?
For high school, and we had to wear these ugly sweaters, and you know, just I always wore the same color pants. It was either blue or green or brown. And ugly sweaters. I had a Tasmanian devil purse. I carried around a stuffed animal for an entire freaking year.
Yeah, but it was okay in high school, right?
I don't know. No.
Oh, did you get made fun of?
No, but everyone was like, what the fuck is she doing?
Yeah.
Why on earth?
Tasmanian devil.
Well, you know what's worse is people that are grown men that got a little bit
drunk and they got a Tasmanian devil tattoo on their calf. And I know a guy, Travis, who got a tattoo, and he walks around and he's this big dude. I'm like, you got a freaking Tasmanian devil. Like, that's so 1998 or something.
I know.
And you have to live with it. And it's a freaking cartoon on your calf.
I know. My friend Emily has a lot of tattoos, and I love her. But for me, if I were going to get tattoos, it would have to be all from the same artist, in the same style. But it's too much of a pain in the ass. And quite frankly, I don't want to pay anyone to put me in pain.
Yeah.
No.
Not only that, you know, but you committed...
For
the rest of your life, you know, and it's too much, you know, and then they turn ugly, you know, over the years and stuff. You know,
I just think, you know,
looks like a blotch
get
or something.
A sticker, people. Just get a sticker.
Or henna tattoo, you know
when the season changes, it changes. When the style changes, it changes, you know. That's all I'm saying. Kelly Osbourne just came out because she's getting her tattoos removed.
Really?
Surgically removed, which, you know, I think is a good move because she's now on the red carpet and she's lost a lot of weight and she's doing a lot of this fashion police, and I've seen her in these gowns and I mean, distracted by these tattoos on her forearms.
I mean, I'm happy for her, but she's also been one of the people kind of subconsciously promoting tattoos, and not everybody has the money to get them removed. So I'm happy that she's decided to commit herself to looking... Mm-hmm. You know, more clean or whatever it is.
Yeah, like more elegant.
Yeah,
but why get into it in the first place and then you have to have it removed?
Well, she said it was a time in her life where she was kind of rebelling, and she said, I thought it was kind of a way to harm myself in a way and piss off some people subconsciously, and she's over that, and she wants them gone. And but I remember looking at her.
But it's so much more expensive to get them removed than it is to get them put in your skin.
Yes, and I think that I think that was going to be a good decision to get them removed. I don't even know if it's that successful, right? Removal. They still have like a bit of a.
It depends on the color, from what I know.
Uh huh.
But yeah, there's still a residual scar, so there'll be like little kind of.
Do they bleach it or something? What do they?
No, it's like a laser. So what they'll do is they'll kind of like, you know, those like light bright systems for your teeth where they kind of shine it.
Right.
And that only takes 15 minutes. This one, apparently it's a different temperature, a different power laser or something. And it takes like 6 sessions or so.
Okay.
But there's still, I think, a little bit of like mild scarring around the edges or something. Yeah. I'm not positive because I've never had.
I'm sure,
because
it goes pretty deep when they do it, you know? I mean, obviously it sticks around for a long time.
She's a tattoo of a keyboard, and she's like, I don't even play piano. She's like, wow. Oh, that's funny. I was like, okay. Well, but I do. I think that I'm not against people having tattoos. I teach their own, you know, and some people wear it and it looks nice, and some people I just don't think it fits.
It's the ironic tattoos that drive me crazy. The hipsters with the ironic tattoos.
Yeah.
Like, I have a friend. He's a comedian, and he's a really great writer, and there's so many wonderful things I can tell you about this guy. But he got this tattoo as a statement against people who get tattoos, despite the fact that he has, like, 5 others. But he got one that says, this tattoo makes people think I'm cool. Mm. And he likes to show it off and brag about it, and you know.
So obviously that's exactly what it is for him.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's pretty literal then. It's not very ironic. It's very much like, this tattoo makes me think I'm cool. Hey, look at my tattoo. It kind of goes. It's kind of literal.
I guess. I don't even know. I just.
Yeah.
There's so many things you can say about Todd, and his tattoos are only one subject.
Yeah.
His piercings are another. God, he'll take them out anywhere.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. See, I don't like tattoos on women. I don't think it looks good.
But you like
them
on men? You like your men?
No, no, no. I mean, I don't. But on men, I don't really care, you know?
But
I mean,
women,
when it comes to women...
You don't like a big tramp stamp back there?
No, no. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Even the small ones.
You don't get why they get the tattoos? Or?
Yeah, I don't get why they get the tattoos, you know?
Well, my friend Molly, she got one, you know, the Never Ending Story tattoo. And and I've heard of other wonderful tattoos. I think it was my friend Sarah. She had 4 people in the family, and they were all kind of... obsessed with Lord of the Rings. It was like their family tradition.
Oh, you don't gotta get it tatted though.
Well, what they did is each one of them got a line from I think the father was the one that got and one ring to bind them all or something.
Uh-huh.
So they each had like one of those.
Yeah,
lines.
One ring to rule them, one ring to this, and one ring to something them all.
Yeah.
And they have one tattoo to.
So each has a line from that. And so for them, it's a family thing, and I can understand it. It seems like a very sweet thing to do, and it's something they all really appreciate, and they're all really into. So I get that. But yeah, I don't know. There's just too many people who think like, oh, I'll be kind of cool. I want a tattoo. Let me get this.
Yeah.
I just think too, like, you know what? Your sentiments can be expressed in many other ways. And like, let's talk about sex.
You know, let's say, bow down, the shirt comes off, the clothes come off, and you're like, yeah, that's for me and my brother and my dad and my family right here. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think a man's going to be.
That is an excellent.
He's not going to be. He's going to be like, oh, can you just turn to the left? I just don't want to see that. That, you know, I don't want to see your brother, your dad, or your mom's sentiment on your. You know what I mean? Like, I just.
There's no fantasy in that one.
No.
You're always reminded of who you're having sex with.
Oh, can't handle it. That's actually
a really good point.
I don't understand women that put tattoos like above their ass, you know, on the back.
It's like because you can only see it,
during sex, right?
Well, no, because shirts kind of ride up when you know, the lower jeans. Now, personally, I've got a smaller waist than most jean companies think for the size of my ass. So, I mean, it's sort of great, but it's also kind of horrible because I can only buy the jeans that fit at the hips, pretty much, unless I want to get like a belt with a whole bunch of like, it makes it look clunky and horrible, like I'm wearing mom jeans or something. I feel horrible. So I wear the kind of like low rise jeans. And a lot of shirts don't go down long enough. Like the sweaters will go down long enough, but the shirts won't. So for people who wear kind of the low style of jeans and normal t-shirts, you can see that kind of area of tramp stamp. It's really easy to just show people and turn around and be like, oh, look at this, I got a tattoo. You know, but when you're naked, I have no desire to have some weird
I know you do it like doggy style and it's right there, you know. I've had a chick or two that I've had that, and it's so distracting, you know. I mean, why do I want to look at this shit? You know?
Do you just like put your hand over it the whole time or turn?
No, I just close my eyes.
That's funny.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a waste of money on the women's part, you think?
Not only money, but I think, you know, it's sort of downgrades them for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Your property value just depreciated and dropped 10 points.
Exactly.
They rethink a couple points off. Absolutely.
What can I say?
No, I have a friend who, she's gorgeous. She's California blonde. So cute. So pretty. And I don't know what her deal is. She's got, you guys that are listening, I'm not against body art or piercings. I think some people wear it well and it's like they're committed to a certain culture or it's an expression. And for some people, I've got to go, okay, I get it. And then there's some people that it just doesn't fit. And I think this is a friend of mine that it doesn't fit. She's got a couple eyebrow piercings, a nose piercing, a lip piercing, ears. And she's like this hot blonde that's just so pretty and cute. And then she's got these. I'm like, why are you doing this? Because nobody's buying it. It just looks weird on you.
Makes her ugly.
It's all this shit in the way.
Is she in the arts or is she not?
No.
See,
I think it's like was like a rave phase. I'm like, take the shit out of your face. You look pretty. Stop trying to be like, oh, I'm tough. I think it's kind of like I'm a tough thing.
I mean, there's obviously different reasons. Some people do it because they think they look ugly without it. Some people do it. You know, I have a friend who has a nose piercing because she's got a big nose.
Really?
And for her, it actually puts everything into perspective.
Oh, really?
It makes it look great.
Wow.
But you know, I think I try to. One of the clip-on nose piercings, and everyone was like, no, stop it.
Yeah, no, it looks like boogers, you know?
Yeah.
Don't bother with it.
Yeah, because you can see the back in their nose, and I'm always like, never mind.
Oh, and the other thing is, if you ever have a magnetic one, don't fall asleep with the magnetic nose piercing. I swear to you, you will regret it.
Why? What happened?
May have accidentally inhaled it a little bit.
Wow.
So I had to really work hard at sneezing it out.
Did it feel like it was stuck in it?
Because I was like, oh, that's weird. My nose piercing-y thingy fell off. And I was like, well, that's magnetic. And then I went, shit.
Where's the other part?
I was like trying to figure out how far up it was. And like, I wasn't, it was a scary, scary moment.
That's already stressing me out.
Like, I got it out.
Things that happen in your sleep. Do they say? A friend of mine had on his Facebook status that there's a certain amount of bugs we.
I think that was a false statistic, though.
There's a certain amount of bugs that we eat in the middle of the night that crawl into our mouth.
Yeah, no, spiders.
Over.
Have no desire to crawl into your mouth. None.
Well, good. They better stay out.
Yeah. How often does that happen?
No, know? It's like something like over a lifetime.
Right.
The unknown
bugs.
Yeah,
I mean, I've read something like that.
I was like, I don't need to know that.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
No.
My dad, when he was growing up, he had a cockroach crawl in his ear.
Oh, my God.
And he pulled out half
of
it.
Oh, God.
And then the other half was like...
Oh, God. That's so gross.
And he had to go to the emergency room.
Wow.
And get it pulled out.
To get the weird...
Can you
stop.
Believe that? I think that'd be like a form of hell.
I think I would be smacking at the other side of my ear, like on the other ear, to be like, get out. Trying to create a pressure.
So, I mean, honestly,
Oh, God, that's so weird.
That's another thing. I saw a spider near my bed the other day.
And it freaked me out. I was like, I had to sleep in the living room.
Did you?
I did.
I usually take the spiders out. I'll put a glass over them and then a piece of paper underneath and then take that outside. So I feel better.
Yeah, I do a big old SWAT.
Yeah.
They're not missing anybody. They're not going anywhere.
I don't want to kill them.
You're right. Spiders are just doing their thing. They're doing their job.
Here's the thing.
They're great.
They eat the other bugs.
Yeah.
So whenever you're worried about a spider being near you, it's killing everything else that might crawl into your mouth.
That's true. Okay. Yeah. So. Just stay away from my mouth, spiders.
Yeah, so befriend a spider or two. Why not?
Why don't you befriend a spider,
yeah.
Sam?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I actually saw a tarantula in the wild the other week, and I was all freaked out about it.
Really?
No, I can't handle it.
Yeah, it was a little bit much for me.
A fuzzy insect, the creep factor just went through the roof.
With eight eyes.
They have eight eyes?
Yeah. Don't they have like a bunch of eyes or something?
I don't think they need all those eyes, really.
No, I don't think so, but they have them.
Eight eyes?
I think they have a bunch. I know they have eight legs.
I think eight legs, right?
I don't know. I'll look it up later. But then if I look it up on Wikipedia, there'll be photos, and I'll instantly be like
gag reflex.
Falling back into the back of my chair and like trying to cover myself with a blanket and hiding from the spiders.
Yeah.
Oh, not good.
Have you heard of this movie called The Human Centipede?
No.
What is it?
I don't know. I just heard about it the other day.
I think it's a horror movie.
Right? It is a horror movie. Yeah, they connect like two people to each other, you know.
Oh gosh.
Is this like,
I don't know what the
it's
point
like,
is.
Like a CGI kind of thing or?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, who knows? Who knows what it
is? And there are two people that are like, "Hey, by the way, we're killers and we turn into a centipede to kill you."
Right, yeah.
Really?
Sounds like a good plan.
I don't know what the hell is going on there.
Like just the way we like
but
to do it.
But it just sounds gross to me.
I think that's the point of some of the horror movies.
Yeah.
That's not cool, guys.
No, it's not
cool. I can't handle it.
No, dear filmmakers, please stop connecting people and murdering other people.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Do you like horror movies, Kim?
I like thrillers.
Uh-huh.
And I like action and I like psycho thrillers. I don't think I'm into gore. I just find it to be like... If very gratuitous. It's not my thing. I don't need to see, you know. Nothing beats a good plot line and good characters, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need to see chainsaw, somebody's head's attached, you know.
Yeah, I know. I'm not into that.
Are you? It's one of the most highest grossing genres, though.
Yeah.
Horrors, which
I think
is kinda
because
sad.
Teens go to see it, and they're like the biggest audience.
They do, but there's also a high turnover rate. So if... you know, if the movie comes out 1 year, the next year people don't tend to watch it again.
Mm.
They're just going to want to see the next one.
Yeah.
So, because if they can predict what's going to happen, I think a lot of guys are kind of like, you know.
I also like don't, I specifically detest anything that's torturous. I can't handle.
So like the Eli Roth torture porn and.
Ugh, can't handle it.
I can't even watch it. I haven't even tried.
I just think that it's like, you know, they say too psychologically, like your brain pattern and everything, the biggest harmful effect is sex and violence on the brain.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, like mixing the two. And I think you've got these films out there. And I'm not saying they can't do it, it's their right, but I'm just saying like there's something very, I think, instinctually rejecting of that, you know?
Yeah.
And
I think culturally,
you wear that down. If you wear that down, it's kind of like, I don't want to know you, don't know my address. We never met.
Yeah, but that's much more difficult now. Have you seen Catfish?
What's Catfish?
It's a movie about these guys who, like, talk to this girl on the internet, and then they, like, start stalking her using, like, Google and stuff. I don't know anything about the movie. I haven't seen it, other than the fact that it's, like, really
creepy.
Well,
you know what? If Facebook's listening, Facebook has gotten out of control. And they've had their hands slapped a few times, and they've put out some public apologies. But their privacy settings is they've gotten way out of control.
I normally have them on the most private, so I can't even find myself. Like, I don't even know how to search it.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but as of recently, you have people's phone numbers. Everybody in your contact.
I have.
How do they even have my phone number, though, attached to my email? I don't even know how that happened.
Did you not have to register with your phone number?
I didn't know. It was an email.
Maybe.
Do you have a Gmail account?
I have a Gmail account.
Gmail requires you to register your phone number so that way you can get a text. So that way you're not like a spammer.
Well,
so
it doesn't require it, but maybe if you want to do text. No, because I have Gmail. So, I don't think
it does require.
When I signed up, I had to give them my phone number so they could send me a confirmation text.
Uh-huh, right.
So whatever the numbers were in the text, I would put into
That's probably
like
a new
thing.
Right. How long have you had the account?
4 years, 3 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe in the beginning it was like that. Who
maybe.
Knows? But there's a movie called I Spit on Your Grave. Have you heard of that one?
Sounds Italian. Sorry.
But, apparently half the movie is this girl is being raped by all these guys. And You know, I don't think I could ever watch something like that.
Is this a porn or is there
a plot? No, it's not a porn. And then the rest of the movie is revenge. She takes revenge on all these guys and kills them and stuff.
I think I saw this one. Was this an old movie?
But there's a remake, though.
I think I saw this as a because I had a really secretive childhood. I think somebody left that movie on and I was in a room. And does the girl, like, get a thing of snakes?
I don't know. I think so. Yeah. I haven't seen it. I just heard about it. So it's, it's pretty, you know. I don't know. I don't think I could watch 5 minutes of that.
No, I don't.
I don't think I could either.
Yeah.
If I knew in advance, like there's, I forget the name of the movie, but Monica Bellucci's in it, and there's like this really intense rape scene, but it's only one scene. It's only like, you know, a maximum 5 minute thing.
Right.
And it does make the rest of the movie progress on.
Right.
But yeah, if it's like half the movie of that stuff, like if I know I can hide my eyes for a couple minutes and be like, okay, just get through it. And then there's a point.
Yeah.
But if I just went to go see the movie and like nobody warned me.
I know. I don't know that I can handle it. All right. Well, we are out of time.
I want to say a birthday.
Yes. Go
okay,
ahead.
Tracy McDonald. Happy birthday, girl. You know we going out tonight. We gonna get our hangout on. We gonna get our birthday cake on. We gonna dance on. You just get
okay,
ready.
Okay. Okay. Enough of that.
Happy birthday.
Okay, Allie. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All the best to you.
Birthday,
we didn't get to talk much about your acting and stuff, but
that's okay.
So you've been here 2.5 months, right?
Yes, so far.
And you feeling good about it?
I am. It's
wonderful.
Nice. I love the weather.
Yeah.
It's great.
Awesome.
Awesome.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. We'll be back here. What?
Happy birthday, Tracy. No, I'm just like...
Happy birthday, Tracy.
There you go, Sam. It means
see
a lot
you all tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.